Your Scene Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourscene.com.
You know, the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the Creep songs. Those are
running
CDs
in circles.
You just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
It's the Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. I heard a comedian talk about him and Michael J. Fox. You know, the world, something's wrong with the world when Michael J. Fox is all screwed up and Ozzy's fine.
Let's go.
Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned in to the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, RootRootRadio.com, BuildTheScene.com, and 107.1 FM St. Louis, Missouri. This is episode number 446, and with me tonight are all the Jays from Jake the Hawk.
Good to be here.
I did that on purpose. You'll find out why in a minute.
How's it going?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing real good. We just got finished up band practice, wrote a new song, so we're feeling pretty hyped.
Ah, new songs are awesome. I've had a few written in the room I'm sitting in.
Nice.
There you go.
And I should probably let you know that I don't know how to play anything, so it wasn't me.
All good. You got the creative juices going.
I'll take it.
Work, yeah.
Hey, right, so let's start off with one of the generic question that you guys are probably ready for, and it's what you would normally hear on a radio show. I try not to ask a lot of those questions. Can you tell me the story behind the name Jake the Hawk?
Well, this is John here, and my brother's name is Jake, and when we were growing up, Jake would often disappear into the woods for hours at a time, and we're still finding my dad's tools back there to this day, and my dad would call for him to come home for dinner, and Jake would obviously never return, but every time my dad called for him, this red-tailed hawk that lived in a tree nearby would come flying, so naturally, we assumed the hawk's name was Jake, too. So we named the band after this bird who still lives there today.
That's awesome. So the hawk's name is Jake. That fits in perfect with what I was going to say.
Nice.
So my next question is it a requirement to have Jay as an initial involved with this band?
It was just kind of a happy accident, but
Yeah,
after we had like a member change and like this guy's name also starts with J, it just kind of now it's a requirement. Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's I was looking at the Bandcamp page, and like the album was engineered and mixed by Justin Luber, J, mastered by James Plotkin, J, illustration.
I didn't even notice the James Plotkin thing.
by Joe, I don't know how to say that last.
Oh, Joe Maroc. Yeah. Oh, that's man. No. And you're inserted, noticing nuggets that we didn't even realize existed.
And lyric insert layout by John Huxley. They are all J's.
Yep. I never even put all that together, but yeah, you're right.
No, it was all planned. It was all planned. We knew this the whole time.
Yeah. It was very intentional.
So now I'm going to give you one of my normal questions, but I'm going to give it a twist for your band.
Okay.
So what I want you to do is think about bands that you've played with or you've seen in the scene. And I want you to create an all-star band. Now, if that's not hard enough, they all have to have a J in their name.
Oh, that's no. We're 100%. We'll do that, but we're not doing the J part. I refuse to do the J part.
That's okay. You don't have to.
If I okay, vocals. I would say out of nowhere, I'm going to say we're going to have Jero from Zom on vocals.
Yeah. I really like on drums. I really like Steve from Rebreather and Garter Snake.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Steve from Rebreather on drums. Jero on vocals.
I gotta see Squirrely Nick from Whorehound on bass. Probably.
Playing bass, yeah. And then playing lead guitar. I want
Lou.
Yeah, I want on dual guitars. I want Lou from Riparian, and I want Quinn from Iron Flame.
Yeah.
And Icarus Witch.
Yeah.
That's I think that's
that
the lineup.
Should happen.
That yeah. band should happen.
Yeah. I think we've
that, that happened really fast. Oh, no, I think you guys lied to me and you listened to the show.
No, this is the kind of conversations we have, though.
Yeah. It's pretty par for the course.
Yeah.
I actually didn't even have that question on my list that I told you I had prepared. But it just fell in with all the J things. I was like, how could I make it this harder?
He had one J in that.
Yeah. So you mentioned Whorehound, and I am going to be playing one of their tracks tonight, too.
Nice.
And I'm going to have to go look to remember which one it was. The Kind is what we're going to play.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's a jam.
Yeah.
And then we're also going to throw in another Black Seed band with Fist Fight in the Parking Lot.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Nice.
And their track 714.
Nice.
But we'll get into who else is lots playing of, later.
Lots of good bands on Black Seed. We love this label.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually supposed to interview Shy for this past Friday, but it fell through and we had to reschedule. So last week's show ended up being lucky me. And if you listen to it, we talked about things in the past that haven't happened yet, which is interesting.
She's very elusive, so, you know, it happens.
We'll get her on here. But in the meanwhile, before we go too much further, at the beginning of the show, you heard Dark Waters from Greywater and a new track to the show and to Build the Scene, Time Flies, by the band Traverse the Abyss. I'm not used to having all this stuff ready. I never mentioned that. You recorded To Build the Fire and released it on November 10th of 2018. Well, tell me about the process of recording it.
Well, it really, when we finished Year of the Hawk, which we put out in January of 2018, we already had a ton of other material we were sitting on that we were working on. And we got through a lot of recording it and we ended up, scrapping it and just decided that we wanted to just come at it fresh. So To Build a Fire was basically written, other than I think one song. Everything on that was written this year, you know, just like really quickly in the lead up, like, you know, it was written, learned, recorded, like a lot of those songs we had never played together as a band until we did them in the studio. So it was a very, it was really fresh. It was really just like coming in hot on that one, which was really, it was really exciting. Because we didn't super know what it was going to turn out like, but it was just like, but what was exciting about it was like the latest shit that we had been doing. Mm-hmm. And we got to do that and put that right to tape and didn't have to sit on it for months. So that was the most exciting thing about the process, I think.
It was a good time. Yeah. It was fun to mix it like that. I mean, for me too, I think it was, You like when you're not stewing on it like that, I feel like you kind of approach it a little bit more organically, I guess. I don't know.
But there was also a lot of pressure because it's like, well, we just wrote this and we got to record it and we got to put it out. So there's a lot of pressure to get it done.
Yeah, to get it done. It was a lot.
But
now, had any of the songs been played out before the CD release or were they like that new? Like,
yeah. Well, we had been doing the song Holy Water and the song The Silk Road. Mm-hmm. We had been playing for quite a while.
We did Parting Glass a couple of times.
That was, but other than that, we never played any of those. Those were all like super fresh. And actually, the song Strand was totally last minute. We were gonna do a different song and decided to throw together this old demo that I had and like write it out in the studio. So Strand was like written in the studio. You know, like the ending I came up with on acoustic guitar, and then it was like, you know, Jordan like come up with a drum beat, and we just like put it all together like super organically. Mm-hmm. So like other than 2.5 songs, everything on that album was totally fresh.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the vocalist was new after the album was recorded. Is that correct?
The vocalist was new. Well, it was our original lineup on the album. Which was my brother Jake, was who the band is not named after. The band is named after the Hawk.
After Hawk, I got it.
Yeah, yeah. But distinct. Yeah, but
the Hawk is named after Jake.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, but no, but he left the band shortly before the album release. And so on the album, it's he and I are like kind of splitting vocals. But he's doing a lot of the lead vocals on the album. But now we have our new guitar player, Josh. So he and I are splitting vocals, and Justin's doing some vocals also. So like now the lineup, the old lineup is what was doing the album. But all the guitars on the album I did, and it was, I don't know, just muddy, complicated stuff. I don't have a good answer for this.
Yeah.
But it all had a J, so we're good.
Yeah, it was all. Yeah. You need a good J.
Tell me where my listeners can get a copy of the album from.
You can go to our Bandcamp, Jake the Hawk, all one word, jakethehawk@bandcamp.com. You can order a physical copy of the album there. You can also get the digital download. We have some other merch available there too, including our excellent koozies. We have some nice prints available. So Jake, our bulldog's being very noisy. Yeah.
What is the what is the bulldog's name?
Lucy.
Oh.
It's not a J. I know.
No, sorry, Juicy. Its name Juicy. Is Juicy.
call her Juicy.
But jakethehawk.bandcamp.com. All of our wares are available.
I'm going to stick with the album a little bit in the first segment, and then we'll get to learn a little bit more about the band in segment two. You guys are okay sure. sticking around for a second segment, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So do you have any upcoming shows? And I would assume that you have some physical copies of the disc that you can sell at those, right?
Yeah, well, you can get the physical copies of the disc at the Bandcamp. Well, you know, you can get it mailed to you. Okay. And or you can get it at the show. What is it? January 25th, we're going to be at Howlers in Pittsburgh with another Pittsburgh band that's, you know, super great is Chrome Moses. And then we're going to be in Scranton, PA in February at some point.
February 16th.
We're going to be at Scranton. And then we're going to be back in Pittsburgh on March 30th.
Who all is the show in screen? It's These Idle Hands and...
That's all we know.
Yeah. But in the meantime, if you're around Pittsburgh, January 25th is a Friday at Howlers. It's just us and Chrome Moses, so two-band show. It's going to be super chill.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we're just going to, you know, chill, no pressure, just a lot of just two bands, not too much to consume, just hanging out, drinking beer, just, you know, dropping riffs. So I'm really excited for that one, and we love Howlers. It's home base. We actually shot our music video there.
Yeah.
Is that on YouTube by chance?
Yes, it is. The Jake the Hawk, The Silk Road, you can find on YouTube, yes.
I have to include that in the show notes. So, how about tell me about the song Geotraxis, and then we'll take a break and listen to 714 by Fistfight in the Parking Lot, and then Geotraxis off of To Build a Fire by Jake the Hawk.
Well, Geotraxis, side A of To Build a Fire is one continuous kind of suite, and Geotraxis is the ultimate movement of that suite. So it has a lot of musical themes that we explored in the previous movements of the whole thing. And it's really where we bring it home. And the movement kind of gets a little more spacey and a little more brutal as it goes. And Geotraxis is the culmination of that. It is simultaneously like the most, you know, gazy and spacey, but also the heaviest. And like lyrically, like I'm not even going to go down the whole path about what To Build a Fire is about, but, really that it's about completion. The Geotraxis is the completion. It's where all of the musical themes on side A of To Build a Fire come to completion, and you know, everything comes together. So we love that song, and we love playing it still. It's one of our favorites, so we're happy to have it on your show.
Okay, so with that said, we're gonna take a short break and come back with Jake the Hawk. Hey, it's Bill. If you're just tuning in, you missed the first segment of the show with Jake the Hawk, where we talked mostly about their newly released album that came out through Black Seed Records. You just heard their song Geotaxis, and also 714 from their label mates Fist Fight in the Parking Lot. But we're going to find out a little bit more about the individuals in the band, and I think they told me to pick on Josh. So sticking with the theme, Josh, what is your real first name?
Oh, no. Given name is Josh. I have to live up to it.
So it wasn't a, I have to change it to a J name to be in the band kind of thing?
No. Josh is actually, it was a kind of a bane as a name because I graduated with probably about 8 other Joshes. It was a really popular name the year I was born. So.
All right. So I am going to give you a hard question, Josh.
Okay.
I apologize. they're in for you being tortured though, so I could hear it in their voices.
Yeah.
So what is one thing you like about the local scene and one thing that you absolutely hate and would want to change?
Oh, okay. One thing I like about the local scene. Mm-hmm. I love the integration. Like, I've kind of bounced around in different scenes in Pittsburgh, and they're distinct, you know what I mean? There's a couple different pop punk scenes, there's a couple different metal scenes, but people do seem to like kind of float in between those, you know, which is, I think, is really, really great. It's not as isolated as some cities I've been in. One thing I hate is I'm old and everything starts too damn late. So
how old are you?
I'm 37, so I know that's not like super old, but like
I got 5 years old on you, and I'm not old yet.
Yeah, I just, I love my sleep. I'm not gonna lie.
So you would change start times of the shows?
Yeah, earlier. In bed by 10 for punk rock people.
Yeah. Punk rock.
All right, so if we're gonna do individual questions, who wants the next one?
I'm down, John.
Okay, John, if I looked at your music collection, which bands would I see and what albums?
A lot of them, but you would notice my multiples of Jethro Tull albums.
I was going to say, if you don't say Jethro Tull.
Yeah. You notice my multiples of Jethro Tull albums. You would notice my ancient copy of Moving Pictures by Rush with this limited edition tour booklet that's very nice. You would notice my Joe Satriani Flying in a Blue Dream press copy vinyl that I bought that's great. I don't know. And also you'd notice my Gillian Welch, The Harrow and the Harvest, illustrated by John Baisley of Baroness. Fantastic. See, like bluegrass
again,
country.
I'm not convinced you guys didn't listen because you're too well prepared for this.
No, I'm just spitballing here. I could do this all day.
Okay, who else you got?
Okay, Justin.
Okay, you want to answer that one? You want me to give you a different one?
Give me another one.
Okay, who would you say has been your biggest supporter as a musician, and why would you single out that person?
Seriously,
I mean, on a whole, it's a cop out. But definitely my parents, because they paid for all the lessons and dealt with were my terrible metalcore band growing up. definitely my folks, just because they had to. Yeah, I don't know. That's a cop out answer, but
let's see. John, Josh, Justin, who's left? Jordan. Okay, Jordan. If you could open for any internationally touring band, who would you open for and at what venue?
That's a fun question.
Internationally, I would love to open up for Graveyard. And preferably at the Funhouse at Mr. Smalls. We had a chance to see Mono Ward play there with when our friends opened up for them. Warhound actually opened up for them, and it was a really, really small venue, but it was really, really tight, and like you didn't really have too much distance between yourself and the band, which I thought was really, really cool. And
the energy in the room was excellent. I would like to recreate that as well.
Can we all answer that question? That's a good question.
That is a good
sure.
question. Justin, go ahead.
Oh, I didn't have an answer already.
No. Yeah, have you got something? Yeah,
go all right. Well, the venue would certainly be the Kativo downstairs in Pittsburgh. Billy Rossi would be doing sound. And man, I think the band would be either Stone Jesus or I don't know. It just
Stone Jesus is a
Stone Jesus. All Them Witches maybe, or I mean, they play internationally. I don't know. There's so many great bands around here. So many of my heroes just live nearby. Honestly, like, yeah, Kativo downstairs opening for Howling Giant. Screw it. That would be great. That would be the coolest shit. You know, Monolord or something like that. Just awesome. Speedwolf.
I want to open up for Candlemass at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I'm going to go.
His answer was better.
I'm going to go absurd, too. I'm going to go, like, I'd like to open up for, like, Cheap Trick. But do it at the Chameleon in Lancaster. That's like it's like one of my favorite venues.
I want them to reopen the Crooked Eye in Erie, and I want to open for Fleetwood Mac. There.
Yes.
Can I pick the Beatles?
Maybe Paul.
Yeah.
You can open up for Wings.
Wings.
Wings sucks.
That'd be awesome.
Wings sucks.
No, I'd totally be rocking out the Jet. I'm not gonna lie.
The only.
Just so you know, are you guys familiar with WordPress at all?
Yeah.
So it has the tags feature, which is sort of like keywords. So I always try and put all the bands that are mentioned in the tags, and you guys are killing me. I can't keep up.
Well, then I will throw out that the only good post-Beatles song by any of the members is Working Class Hero by John Lennon.
That's a good song. Yeah.
No, it's the only good one. The rest is trash.
Yeah, I'm trying to come up
with this is coming from the biggest Beatles fan, period, right here.
Oh, I'm trying to come up with something. I think you're right.
This is the best one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you want to take one more round through everybody answering a question?
Sure. Yeah.
Same order, or you want me to mix it up?
Mix it up.
Okay, let's go with John.
Yeah.
If there was a fire that destroyed all your music except for one song, which song would you want to survive for the rest of history?
Well, could I like remember them and re-record them, or just like I only get to remember one?
Like the fire. Here, let me change it. An apocalyptic then. Now I can't even talk. There's an apocalyptic event.
I was lobotomized and I can only remember one song. How about that?
That'll work.
I love the song Rainscape that I wrote. I really like the song Rainscape. And I really like the song Rainscape, and I really like a new song that we wrote that we don't have a name for yet. And other than that, maybe Witchy Weather off of our first album, I think is a really beautiful song. Or I wrote a song years back with a band called Watershed Drag called Off Socket that I really like. So one of those. I don't know. They're layers. Rainscape. We'll go with Rainscape.
Rainscape it is.
Which can be found at rainscape.bandcamp.com.
All right, Justin. If you could go back in time and observe one band for a full year.
For a full year?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. That's a great question.
What band what band would it be, and why would you go to that year?
Oh, man.
I actually have a good answer for
this. My gut was telling me, just say No Doubt. I'm not serious, but why not?
What is Josh? Josh has a good answer.
Josh has a good one, yeah.
Yeah, no, the what immediately came to mind, since this is Pittsburgh local, is Don Caballero.
Oh, Don Cab, yeah.
Yeah, back.
From
yeah, they're. I mean, since they're all kind of local guys, and I kind of sort of know Proxy them, and I also know they're hyper dysfunctional. There was a tour my buddy Mike Rock went on. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall for that tour. there's like right upside at Maximum Rock and Roll, but like they all hated each other at that point. And I love that band. Don't get me wrong. I'm not shit talking. I think they're phenomenal musicians, but yeah, that's the band.
I would be a fly on the wall for the last Refuse tour when they were in America after The Shape of Punk to Come came out. Or any Mars Volta tour, honestly.
Yeah.
Actually, changed my answer. Any Mars Volta tour, I just want to see how batshit insane Cedric is behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Okay, Jordan. Last year, I read an article about the 20 worst 90s bands. I'm not going to make you list 20, but who do you give me maybe two or three bands from the 90s that you absolutely can't stand?
Please don't say No Doubt.
The Verve Pipe.
I'm going to have to say Stained. It was
there from like...
That's more the 2000s.
Yeah, that's odd.
No, wait, all right, never mind. Okay, I'll have to redact that.
The Verve Pipe. They played that song at Bittersweet Symphony. I hate it.
Oh, that. Absolutely. Hey, yeah, radio. Them. What about Sex?
What about the band that played a Runaway Train song?
Soul Asylum.
Yeah, Soul Asylum's
been around for a while.
Yeah, it's 90s, though. That was a 90s hit. I hate the Crash Test Dummies. And who is the one that did the Peaches song?
President.
The Dead Presidents.
Just eliminate that band. Strike it from the record. The Presidents of the United States of America.
Yeah, that's it.
Eliminate that one. Just all of our votes just on that band.
I don't know. Gin Blossoms, too. The Gin Blossoms.
Right? Hey, they got, I like that.
Maybe you guys could have done 20.
I like the Gin Blossoms.
I dig the Wallflowers, though. Bob Marley's kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bob Marley? Bob Dylan.
Bob Marley's kid. Damian Marley does some excellent, like, you know, island dubsteppy stuff that I'm into. Anyway.
I've lost track. Let's see.
Just throw us a question and we'll yell at you.
We keep forgetting you're tagging.
We'll just yell at you.
Name a couple bands from the scene that you are fans of.
Me first?
Yeah, Josh.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Josh, I'll go first. I'll go with Ed Hockley. Whorehound, obviously. I'm going to do a cop-out one because we all love Whorehound.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really, really enamored with Rebreather right now.
John here, I'm going to go with The Long Hunt because their album All Paths Lead to Here that came out this year is amazing. I'm going to go with Inhaler. They're from Akron, but they're basically part of our scene, so it's fine. And Dr. Smoke is from close enough, so I'm going to say Dr. Smoke. I love Dr. Smoke. They write the partiest riffs ever. Like, Dr. Smoke's riff, party riff writing is just next level.
Jordan here. I'm going to have to go with Brimstone Coven. Corey is such a cool dude, and Andrew just slays on bass, and their music is so good. And then also there's another new band that came out. They opened up for Weed Eater when they played
Coma.
It was awesome. They were super heavy, super melodic, just so many cool doomy parts. I want to see more of them. So those would be my main two picks.
Justin?
You guys... What?
No, but what...
You guys used all my favorite bands.
Inhaler, Rebreather... What's the other... Horseburner.
Horseburner.
Horseburner
for sure. They're Clarksburg, West Virginia, but they play up here quite a bit. They've come up here quite often, shy books them a lot.
Their song David is a rager. It's just a banger. Love that song. We obviously love Donnie Iris. He's local.
Yes, he is.
No, Donnie Iris.
I do want to give a shout out to my buddy's band, Night Marathon Sue. They're not like within the genre. They're killer.
Wait, say that again.
Night Marathons. They're on AF Records. Check them out. They're a great melodic hardcore band.
And Riparian. Riparian, for sure. They're just a great, mid-tempo death metal band. Super rad.
Yeah.
Good dudes. Riparian all day.
Hey, let's go one more question.
Okay.
Let me see if I've left my script in case you guys couldn't tell.
It's all good.
So have we.
Well, I tried to do it right, but
we let
I'd say 95% of my shows are unscripted, and I tried to script it, and it didn't work. let's see. This is a good one, and it'll be we'll end on this one.
Okay.
It'll give you each a chance to talk again as well.
Cool.
It might be a little harder for Josh, but
okay. Yeah, I'll do my best.
All right, so the question is, I want you to tell me about an embarrassing moment that one of your band members had on stage. So not when you were embarrassed because of them.
Oh shit.
That's tough. I'm kind of generally embarrassed of Jordan all the time.
I think the best one for me was when we played a show back when Jake was in the band and he didn't know the words to this song. So we had them written in Sharpie on a Domino's pizza box, and he had the Domino's pizza box on the floor next to his pedal board, and he was reading the lyrics off of the pizza box, singing them, and it was just massive and just like,
why?
It was so embarrassing.
That's tough.
We have this problem where we're all really good friends and we all really like each other in general. So it's like,
you're like,
you could be like, oh man, you were out of tune that one time, but I was out of tune too. So yeah, we're pretty laid back.
Yeah.
We're very serious about our music, but like otherwise when we're not playing, we're all just hanging out at the bar together. We're like all each other's best friends. So like we never get too mad at each other.
I don't know. I'm always embarrassed by Jordan, though.
Well, Jordan's a police officer.
Jordan is a cop. He's not a police officer or law enforcement, but he's a cop. His middle name is Clipboard Lanyard. Clipboard Lanyard.
He's the kind of guy that uses coasters at dive bars. He's gonna
given to me, guys.
He's gonna stab.
You didn't bring it from home. You didn't bring your coasters home.
They gave me my beer.
Like you're a guy who likes a coaster.
Yeah, he's a man who enjoys his coasters. He doesn't like the sight of water parks.
I almost take that as judgment.
You're a cop, Jordan.
Hey guys,
this has been a fantastic interview. Thank you. Thanks.
I'm trying to figure out how to segue into ending it.
keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing.
So, first, I want to thank you guys for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
And do you have any parting thoughts before I list who's coming on next?
Well, I just gotta say, keep doing what you're doing.
Shout out to every black and white pet in the world named Oreo.
Agree with that. Also, our next single is gonna come out on VHS, so get those players ready. Get them dusted off.
It's gonna be.
But I'm gonna be red. Go make some coffee. All right.
And the internet.
VHS.
No, we're not kidding about that. It's coming out on VHS.
We're getting Street Sharks on there and everything.
Not video, just audio on a VHS. We love the fidelity.
Hey, this has been episode number 446 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring Jake the Hawk.
Jake the Hawk.
Hopefully next week we'll be Shy Kennedy on January 18th. And then we're going to stick with our Hawk theme and we're going to talk to Steve Hawk on January 25th. We'll follow that with Wicked Earth and Iron Sight, Arcaria, Children of October. I'll just go through all of this. Silver Tongue Devil, Rocky Dennis Face, Still City Crew. And that takes us all the way to March 15th. It's constantly being updated.
But Julius Caesar died.
That's right. The Ides of March. And we'll catch you next week.
Hey, tu, Brute.